Chimamanda Adichie, who was a runner-up in this prize, a great novelist and story writer, she spoke at the TED lecture about the danger of the single story. And one of the great things about this, about this prize and about the Dayton in general, is that that's one thing you're never in danger of falling into. That you have recognized the power of the multiple stories, and the celebration of the multiple stories, and prizes like these and the book culture, which you notice an author can smell book culture, because we know when it's not there. So that to recognize that and to see that is really, really powerful and really, really humbling, that you realize that even one, recognize the different ways in which we tell stories, but also that we ultimately talk about the triumphs and the failures of the human spirit. And I just want to take a moment to appreciate being in the company of the lovers of books. Because, you know, people who celebrate stories that need to be told and need to be heard. And some might question why such a prize, why a literary peace prize, and if you're going to give a literary peace prize, why not stick to less complex, less ambivalent, less difficult books? And why not books with easy answers? The thing is, peace is not an easy question. So it's actually an insult to peace and to the peace process to not recognize differences, ambivalence, and deep conflicts. And I really congratulate the Dayton Committee. I looked at the long list, and the list of books that were there is pretty staggering. I have no idea what you guys were thinking when you made me win. Joan Didion says, "We tell stories in order to live." And I would add that we tell stories in order to live with each other. That beyond tolerance to appreciation and even empathy. And that's why a literary peace prize is so important, because books can do that. Books can be an engine of empathy. A writer is weird. A writer is a particular kind of thief. And we go in and snatch things from dark places and we bring them to light and hope people read them, hope people shine focus on stories that are not always told or sometimes not told in the right way. We bear witness and we speak truth to power. We hope to. And while we're on the power, I've spoken about books that I fell in love when I discovered books and books that I fell in love with. But what I haven't spoken about much is books where when I realized that literature had power. When I realized that literature had the power to change things. And there are quite a few. Because of Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, none of us will die tonight because of the meat we ate. Uncle Tom's Cabin, the Rachel Carson's The Silent Spring. We know that Eudora Welty's story, Where Is This Voice Coming From?, was a first-person narrative of somebody. She did a reimagining of who killed Medgar Evers. And it was a first-person story, and we know that. But what you might not know is that the FBI used that story to profile the killer, and that's how he was caught. So stories can still change lives, and stories can still work in really miraculous ways that you may not know. The Color Purple, for me, ignited dialogue between men and women where they talk to each other instead of at each other. Or even about each other. That even, Geraldine's novel March can pull this really, really unique trick of going forward and backward at the same time. And there's a lesson in both movements. And that Dave's story, Zaytoun, can make us all sort of stop dead in our tracks and really consider what it means to be a fellow American. And this is why books are important and what a novel, or a nonfiction book can contribute to the peace process. Books are important if, for no other reason, enemies of peace already know their power. When the oppressors come, they burn the books first because they realize something. There's a section in my book that I read today that's about two slaves discovering the power of reading. And that scene came to me because of a speech Jeanette Winterson made years ago. And she says, the danger about books, why it scares the enemies of peace, is that reading is an act of free will. And it's a private act. And in the opening of a book is the opening of a world of possibility. And those who are against peace, those who are against freedom, those who are against that sort of free will are scared that the idea of someone becoming liberated under the covers of their own bedsheet. It's a pretty powerful thing that a book can totally change the world or change the mind, and nobody knows but the person who read it. These sort of mini private revolutions that's happening. And fiction and nonfiction both speak truth. Both are in dialogue, and both begin conversations that end and hopefully begin again when the reader reads and the reader understands. The great thing about a prize like this is that it dares to fight oppression, it dares to fight ignorance, and it dares to fight the worst enemy of the lot, which is cynicism, by daring to suppose that literature can make a difference. And I know that personally because I literally wrote my way here, that the only tool I had to go from where I was to where I'm at was a really broken laptop and a pen. And that was the only thing I had. And I have to believe that literature can change the world and change the way we think. Because I'm a teacher and I teach students, and some of them have no hope other than the fact that, or the possibility that they can write their way out of where they're at to where they want to be. And there's quite nothing like a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old believing that they can write a poem that can take them somewhere else, that they can actually tap into that thing that gives them the greatest joy and that can lead to some sort of award. So I am ultimately very, very, very humbled to receive this award. I still think surely there was somebody else. But I'm also challenged, and I'm glad to be challenged, if for no other reason that I think sometimes novelists, certainly more so than nonfiction writers sometimes, are guilty of staring at their belly buttons for an awful time. And it's a great thing to be reminded that every now and then I should look outside my window. And I take that from Dayton and I take it back to wherever my next writing desk is going to be. And I am just so honored and so floored. And thank you very much.